This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get the ball going towards the front court. Gordon out. Clear path through the hoop. 48 for Eric Gordon.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Happy Tuesday to all of you who took my advice at the end of the show yesterday and blindly bet the over on Eric Gordon points scored in the game last night. Who the hell else was going to score points last night for the Houston Rockets? As it turned out, Austin Rivers was going to get a career high as a Rocket as well.
This is the team, isn't it? This is it. It's taken a whole lot of shuffling. But this is the team that's going to win you a championship this year.
You've done morning radio longer than I have.
Yeah.
But when it was time for me to move to this day part, I was excited about two things. One was doing radio with you. The second one was the fact that, by definition, I was going to get a chance to plant my flag in all of the hot takes before any other host in town would be able to do so at 6 in the morning. So allow me to be the first in Houston to say it is time for the Rockets to trade James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Clint Capella for a dozen first-round picks and clearly build around Eric Gordon. That's what needs
to
happen.
It only makes sense.
That's what needs to happen.
This is the small ball that will take the world by storm.
It's science.
I did think it's science. Rudy Gobert out there like, yeah, you peasants. Why do I lower myself to try to swat away the basketball?
What was it? And Gobert, like, swatting dudes away in the last 3 minutes when they're down by 15 points, and he's like, get the hell out of my lane. Hey, blowing up on you. It's like, dude, you cried when you didn't make the All-Star. He literally cried when he didn't make the All-Star.
I know.
Team
it's a bad look
year.
For France. Yeah. It really is. It really is. It's one of those things where you're like, look, you're kind of playing into the stereotypes here about the French,
Utah,
Rudy Gobert.
Utah is the France of the United States.
Yeah, Utah. One of my favorite things about playing Utah is Vernon Maxwell and his hatred for Utah.
beautiful.
Vernon Maxwell tweeted out this video last night. He said, I don't know if he was actually in Utah or not. He was making this play on Twitter like he was traveling to Utah with the team. So then he says, so here's the reason I'm in Utah. I decided to offer a free clinic to the best young shooters in the state as a truce to try and mend my relationship with Utah fans. Here are the best shooters the state had to offer. And it's like these 10 white teenage kids doing a shoot around, and that it's got to be intentional, but they're not making a single basket. It's like 20 straight shots.
These are the best young
shooters. But it doesn't look like they're hamming it up for the camera or anything. And honestly, I've watched this 3 times to try to figure out. I don't think it's possible that they're intentionally missing them, because it would have taken a lot of skill to keep hitting the rim and not have one of them go in.
By chance, one might go in.
But Vernon Maxwell, whose pinned tweet has been the same for many years now, when he'd said, I'd like to apologize to Jazz fans that were offended by my tweets. If I knew you guys had internet in Utah, I never would have made those tweets.
Nice. He's good. He's good going after the Jazz fans. Vernon was selling autographed jerseys. He may still be autographed Vernon Maxwell jerseys last year. But he wouldn't sell any to people whose address was in Utah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I wonder how many times that actually came up.
I don't know, but it's funny
it was
to
like
think.
An expat. There was some, you know, there was a guy on Twitter this weekend. Sorry to regale everybody with Twitter stories, but what the hell, it's 6:02 in the morning.
Right.
So there was a guy on Twitter. I don't try to get into it with people on Twitter too much. It's bad for my mental health. But I was looking through one thread, and it was this guy responding to some kind of Astros comment by saying, until they take that championship away, I'm never going to buy another piece of Astros gear. I'm done. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, well, let me check out this super Astros fan who lives in Utah, mind you. Utah, a place which I thought was particularly devout, right?
Right.
I thought people in Utah somewhat pious.
They forgive.
I look through this guy's timeline. It takes me about 45 seconds of research to discover, he's a Dodgers fan.
Oh.
It's like, oh no. Oh, Dodgers fam fan claiming to never again buy Astros gear until the Astros. You lying sack of crap.
It's like me saying I won't buy green vegetables anymore.
It almost like with a never failed. Yeah. You and your.
I'm boycotting broccoli.
I'll do it. Don't make me throw this broccoli down the trash.
That's right. Don't get me started, zucchini.
So yeah, this guy's just out there lying. Yeah. Lying about it. And it's a Utahn.
Yeah.
A Ute.
Big shock.
A Ute.
Big shock.
When Mike Leach was going through his mascots from the Pac-12 and trying to figure out which ones would actually be, he said the Ute is a tricky one, you know? He's like, what period are we? Is he on horseback? Does he have a gun? The answer would probably be likely yes. I feel like every stereotype that other people have around the country about Houston, where they think, oh, you ride your horses to work and everything, those are actually all true in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Except they do it as they're also, you know, they're just spewing out racial epithets.
Yeah, and arguing with referees and
Matt,
things like that.
Matt Harping, the color commentator there, opens up the game after the Kobe tribute. He's a former player.
He says, I remember.
Says, Utah Jazz fans, as I've long said, the classiest fans in the NBA. It's because you've got to suspend 10 of them for life each year for racial slurs. What the hell are you talking about?
Especially in a position of media, should not be able to make that assessment. Of your own fan base. What I mean? It should be like one of those things where people take these polls. Like, we're going to talk about this later in the show. At the Pro Bowl, they did an anonymous poll of a bunch of players on some different topics. And on things related to players and coaches, they could vote for anybody but their own teammates or coaches. That's how it should be when you're saying so-and-so are the classiest fans on earth. You should not be able to say that about your own fan base.
Especially after a tribute, which is done league-wide.
Right.
For the most part, Harping was giving them credit for not shouting out racial slurs in the middle of the tribute to
Kobe.
That's what Harping is thinking. It's like, all right, everybody, just cross your fingers. Can we have a night without racial slurs?
Yeah,
on this night where we're trying to honor one of the legends
right.
of the NBA.
They really stayed in their shoes.
So good job. Way to compliment your fan base on not having racial slurs for an evening.
So the Rockets go into Utah last night, Seth, and they win without James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Clint Capella.
Because the Jazz just quit.
I watched the second half. I didn't watch the first half because I honestly thought this game was going to be not really worth watching. So I'm watching, other worthwhile television like The Bachelor and Monday Night Raw. And then when I saw the halftime score, I'm like, well, I guess I need to flip over and see what's going on. And it was awesome. Like, it was really cool. Anytime you beat the Jazz, even if Harden and Westbrook had played, would have been really cool. The Rockets made so many shots in that game that if you did like the analytical probability on them, like, okay, the percentage chance of making that shot or that happening again is like 3%. And they had like a half dozen of those in the fourth quarter. Daniel House coming in and sailing in from the free throw line to throw a dunk down in the last couple of minutes. Every time the Jazz looked like they were going to make a run at the Rockets down the stretch in that game, they'd come up with a big shot. Eric Gordon would come up with a big shot. Austin Rivers gets his improbable and one play. Gordon scored 50 last night.
Yeah.
He was unconscious.
Well, I think that's the really good sign from last night, if you want to take it. Because, look, the Jazz have won 19 of their last 21.
That's right.
They're incredibly hot. They're going to drop some game like this. It always happens without fail that a team, not just as I'm picking on the Jazz, but because that's what happens in the NBA.
Yeah.
I think the thing that we've seen over the last several games that's real and genuine that you get excited about is that Eric Gordon is looking a whole lot more like himself, if not even a better version of himself.
Yeah.
As we saw last night. But he is that glue guy. He's the guy that picks up the slack if Harden or Westbrook is having an off night. He's the guy that's the outlet. Like, all those things. You need Eric Gordon. If you want to have any chance of winning a championship this year, Eric Gordon is your unheralded guy that's the key factor. So without him coming back and looking like he has, then all would have been lost.
Yeah.
So you've got other boxes to check off. Harden still needs to first get healthy and then get right. But that at least looks like it's on the right track.
But the depth's been an issue with this team. And I think a game like that where you had to go 9 deep on a team that's not considered a deep team, that can be something. That might have been a game that actually gets Thabo Sefolosha going a little bit for them. He was doing some things last night where you're like, I saw in the first half, like I said, I wasn't watching it. I'm watching this video on Twitter, a spliced video of him crossing some dude over like it's 2009.
Yeah.
It was incredible last night. So good job on the Rockets for going in and getting a win in Utah. They close out the road trip with a game in Portland, and then they are back home.
It's what they say Gen Z is all about, is experiences over materialism.
Yeah, baby.
They're our hope. They are our future.
Mm-hmm.
And their brains are basically computer circuits.
Yeah.
They're joined to their smartphones at the hip. But Jonesy's working out with Kelly, his wife, his bride. And that's one of the biggest it's one of the biggest indicators of whether you stick with a regimen is spousal support.
Yes, yeah.
Especially if you got a, you know, some people will be trying to work out and their spouse is almost like dead set against it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, you need to eat more pasta.
Right.
Here, I like you chubby.
What, do you not like my cooking?
Yeah.
The couple that sweats together stays together, yep. I'm told. Yeah.
Especially in the sack.
Yeah, baby.
Don't get lazy, Jones. You've been married a few months now.
Right.
Don't just be sitting there and just thinking like, hey, here we go, same old, same old. You got to put some work into it.
Yeah. Take a trip. Buy some things at some of the stores around town. Do that. You know, mix some of that in.
I drive by I think it's a Katz Boutique every morning. KATZ.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. They make those stores really bright.
Yeah.
Which I think is so people don't feel seedy going into them. But you are very much on display to the world.
Well, yeah. If they're really bright at night, guess what happens? They see you in the parking lot at those places.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you want to kind of do that on the down low.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
Well, like a lot of the gentlemen's clubs around here, they've got very ornate and big walls, you know, somebody can park and walk in without anybody seeing anybody.
Right.
But the boutiques, there's one at.
They're right out there in the open.
There's one at 59, and when I drive home from KHOU, I'm trying to think of what road that is. Like, it's whatever. It's over on 59, just west of the belt, west of 610.
Mm-hmm.
But I drive past it, and there's no landscaping around or anything, and it's just sitting there, plunked right at the intersection. It's bright, bright, bright. Like, I don't think you could go in there and look around without at least getting 20, 30 people identifying.
Well, and hey, look, you're a noticeable person too.
Oh yeah, like, oh, look at Seth trying to spice up the marriage there a little bit. There
right.
he is. Good for him. Good for him.
That's what people should say.
It's one thing I've discovered about radio is that as long as I point out that I'm married and it's involving the marriage, I get no blowback from anybody about. You know, just talking about risque type stuff.
Right.
And you make it clear that, hey, I'm married doing married things.
I'm just out here talking on the radio. I'm just yapping. That's all I'm doing. Speaking of groins, Will Fuller had sports hernia surgery over the weekend.
The sports hernia.
It was successful.
The hernia that I'd never heard about until, I guess.
Did you ever have a sports hernia?
I didn't even know what one was.
Really?
I think the first I'd ever heard sports hernia was old Benny Joppru. Before Benny Jops, I didn't know what the hell a sports hernia was.
Do you think you may have had one at some point and they just didn't name it yet?
Probably got one right now. That's why I go to Katz.
help work out some of the kinks.
Hey, guys, I think I've got a sports hernia.
Oh.
What can you do for
me? Right over here.
And I'm allergic to latex, by the way. I know that.
And I love candy. Yeah.
I feel like you walk into a place like that and say you're allergic to latex. You're like, well, you've come to the wrong place.
Right? They have a sign like a peanut allergy at a restaurant.
So
back to Will Fuller's groin.
Yeah.
Aaron Wilson tweeted this over the weekend. This was tweeted on Saturday, as you guys can probably ascertain. Pretty much anything that happened late Saturday was overshadowed by the death of Kobe Bryant on Sunday. Aaron Wilson's tweet. Texans wide receiver Will Fuller underwent sports hernia surgery to repair a groin injury sustained during the regular season. Here's the part that was interesting, that he aggravated in the playoff loss to the Chiefs, according to sources. So if the Texans had been able to hold on to a 24-point lead in the second quarter of an NFL playoff game, then I'm reading that to read that there's a chance Will Fuller probably would not have played in the AFC title game the next week. Which the Texans still would have been favored in at home over the Titans. But this Will Fuller thing, like Will Fuller was walking onto that field in retrospect, probably held together like paper mache.
You can play with a sports hernia. Famously, Adrian Peterson had a double sports hernia the year that he set the rushing title. I think that
Will Fuller ain't Adrian Peterson.
Well, I mean, and it's fair to say, too, wide receivers, especially one whose
speed.
Calling card is his speed, it would have been difficult. So we would have had yet another Will Fuller non-appearance. And
us, even more so, us talking about it during the week. So, is he going to play? And O'Brien going, well, he's trending in the right direction.
This is where, you know, from talking to people and, you know, talking to wide receivers specifically about where Will Fuller is right now and of the fact that he was coming off an ACL and hopefully, the reason for all the soft tissue stuff this year was that he was coming off an ACL And that just messes up your biomechanics, especially when you're as fast as you are. You've got all these imbalances and whatnot, and you're just never quite yourself. And nobody's ever going to take 2 years off for an ACL, although sometimes I feel like that actually would be the best course for guys like this. If perhaps this is the start of him getting his body completely right, and I would be super, super, super careful with Will Fuller. It's going to drive fans crazy because what I would prefer is that come June or May, when there's OTAs, that they would say, yeah, Will Fuller's just, we're giving him a break. We're going to keep him completely healthy until it gets time to August, and then we're going to monitor him carefully there. But you almost have to try to create as pristine an environment for his sports hernia area and his knee and everything else as possible. And is it treating him with kid gloves? Sure. But he is that talented of a player, and you have to – you've got to take him out for one last spin and see if you can really get something out of him long term, or at the very least – in the playoffs next year.
Yeah, well, he's got 1 year left on his deal. He's got his fifth-year option. I don't think there was any danger of Will Fuller not being back to play on that fifth-year option, but the fifth-year option is guaranteed for injury. I would think that a hernia surgery qualifies as an injury that would guarantee
the
fifth year.
He might, even if he were completely just doing it in a selfish, self-serving way, the smartest route for him to go would be to take it very slowly with this comeback.
At least till past the beginning of the business year. Kevin Johnson experienced this. Kevin Johnson, they exercised Kevin Johnson's fifth-year option, the Texans did, but they were able to get out of it by like whatever the date was, March 5th or something like that. They had to make a decision. Fuller's not Kevin Johnson. Fuller, when he's on the field, is a much better football player and a much more impactful football player than Kevin Johnson. He will be a Texan in 2020.
It's a shame in a lot of ways just because he's got a $10 million cap hit this year
right,
with that fifth-year option. Now, that's the part where if you had been able to sign into a 3 or 4 year deal or something or an extension, maybe you'd have some relief on that. Right now, he's too good when he's healthy to just cut. But, man, that $10 million for a guy that you can't count on from week to week, that's a whole big old spicy meatball sitting out there in a bad way, the bad kind of spices.
If you get the really aggravating spice.
Gas-creating.
Right. If he plays 13 games this year, he's worth every penny of $10 million.
Right.
The problem is he usually plays 8 games every year or 9 games every year.
Tell you what, the other thing about these sports hernias, I tell you that I never heard of a sports hernia until like 15 years ago. I swear when everybody started training their core like it's like the most all-important thing on earth, all of a sudden people started having more core injuries.
Right.
I really sit around and do 30 minutes of core 3 times a week. Back when people just did basic lifts, you never heard of a damn sports hernia. Overtraining your core, everybody.
The core muscles are revolting. Used us forever. What the hell, man? We've just been able to hang out.
How are we going to sell more Reebok steps and whatnot if we don't talk about the core?
You're right. It would impact the economy. Yeah. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. So diving back into some of the topics around Houston from the last couple days, we didn't get to this on the show yet, but I still think it's worth bringing up because the Astros, the sign-stealing thing is going to be a topic all
Never
season
heard of
long.
It.
Seth, I don't know if you know this, but they had a camera in center field. It's funny, WWE was in town over the weekend. The WWE had the Royal Rumble at Minute Maid Park on Sunday night.
Did they make a joke?
Several. The commentary is like, let's go to the center field camera and get a view of this.
You know what? I was interviewing Tab Ramos last night, or yesterday afternoon.
Look at you.
Yeah, look at me. I'm getting out for did it for the podcast, and I'm getting into the Dynamo now. The more I read about Tab, the more excited I get about the Dynamo this year. But anyway, I was kind of, beforehand, I was thinking, should I ask him? I wanted to ask a lighthearted question about, okay, like, what would be the equivalent in soccer of sign stealing in baseball?
Mm-hmm.
And especially with a camera or whatnot. And I was trying to figure out of a funny way to ask the question, and I couldn't do it. I'm not there yet. I couldn't make light of it to the same degree that
Yet with that specific topic.
Yeah. I couldn't just be like, hey, you know the Astros got pinched for cheating. What would you guys do? And
right.
I couldn't do it yet.
So you didn't ask
him? I didn't ask him, and now I'll never know.
Can you give us a sneak?
He has to be careful, though, you know, as a representative of U.S. soccer and everything. He would have to, you know, basically accuse some other country of something that they've done in the past. I would like to know. Any
would
have
been good
fans
for your podcast, probably.
That's true.
Catch a little spark and it turns into a brush fire?
What was Iran doing in the 98 World Cup anyway? I don't believe that they beat you fair and square.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Get him to say some really some really just caustic political things. That would be cool.
That was the other thing too. As obviously not a soccer expert, I ended up spending about 2 hours learning about the '98 World Cup, and it was just a disaster for the U.S. in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I had all these questions about it, but I just met the guy. And I can be like, hey, one of America's greatest soccer players ever. Let's dive into one of the ugliest moments of
right,
your career.
Right, not
for him personally, but the team he was on was just, there was a whole lot of drama. It's fascinating.
Yeah. I'm anxious to, when is that podcast going to drop? If you'd like to give a tease to the listeners.
I think I'll do it tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Deceptively Fast Podcast that you can get on radio.com. So you and I did not get a chance to talk about Mike Fiers at all yet, because I believe it was on Friday at the A's Media Day.
Fiers and his squirrely, stupid facial hair.
Yeah, what's going
on with
that?
Does he have alopecia of the face or something?
I don't know.
He did that swirly thing one time, but he's got a missing patch, which happens. Some guys have patchy spots on their faces, but usually they don't try to accentuate it. It looks like he's got mange.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
It looks like some rodent gnawed on his chin in various spots. Yeah. So Mike Fiers was asked about his role, which is the biggest role in the sign-stealing scandal. He blew the lid off of it. He gave the interview to The Athletic. He essentially ratted out the Houston Astros. So you'd think he'd say something, right? Here is Mike Fiers' exchange with the media at A's Media Day.
A lot of players think that there's a code that was broken and other guys are totally behind you, and you just figured there's going to be maybe a little bit of tension somewhere.
Like I said, I appreciate the question. I know you guys got to ask. It's your job, but baseball. Baseball questions, please.
Are you concerned at all that this will be a distraction? Because, you know, you've got us asking now, and it's probably going to be over the course of the season more and more.
I'm going to focus on my job and be ready for my team out in the field. You know, like I said, that's my job.
Oh, that didn't sound like an apology.
No, Keuchel's the one who... No, yeah. Fiers doesn't need to apologize. He's the whistleblower.
I know, which is strange to me, because I keep hearing all these people demanding apologies from people that are involved in the cheating scandal, and yet not a single person has demanded an apology from Mike Fiers that I can hear.
Oh, because he was on the 2017... Yeah.
He was part of it, too.
Oh,
like,
that's
this
a
is
really
the,
good point.
He was part of it. He participated in it. He didn't bring it up until 2 years later. And yet... People don't need an apology from Mike Fiers? What the hell?
Seth, can I just tell you, you're the first person I've heard bring that up.
Well, I do. I drink a lot.
No, but it seems like a very... Did you ask Tab Ramos about it?
It sounds like, Tab, are you disappointed in Mike Fiers not apologizing?
It's funny. I hadn't even thought about that. I don't think... Maybe this is because my brain is in a healthy place. Mike Fiers, screw you. I don't think of you as part of the 2017 Houston Astros anymore.
Well, and I keep hearing, you know, McClain was in here the other day, and he said he had heard on Sirius that Fiers' teammates said that he would be willing to give up the ring. Well, nobody's barring Mike Fiers from giving back his ring. Right. Smelt that thing down and give the proceeds to the poor.
That's right.
What's your deal, Fiers?
Yeah.
Like, why have you not given the ring back? Okay, A, why have you not apologized for the cheating scandal? Dallas Keuchel already has.
Yeah.
Far superior pitcher to you. And one who, as Keuchel pointed out, didn't necessarily always get the best run support. And so you have not. So Mike Fiers has yet to apologize. Two, Mike Fiers has yet to return the ring. Three, why the hell are people holding Mike Fiers up like he's some bastion of morality when now he won't even speak on the topic?
Yeah, he can't even give a non-answer answer. You know what I mean? Like, there are non-answers you can give to this.
Yeah.
Just say, I felt it was the right thing to do. You know, just there are very, very generic vanilla answers you can give to that would satisfy, to use what you just said, Seth, that would check the boxes on what Fiers needs to say in a situation like this. Not treating it like he's giving a statement. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm here to talk about baseball and just baseball. Please, just baseball.
What about the guys who ended up losing their jobs because of one bad performance for the Astros? What do you mean? Well, you know, because they lose a job to the... They have a bad performance against the Astros, and then they go down to the minors and still suck in the minors, and somehow that's all the Astros' fault.
Right.
You know,
right.
Baseball, the way one performance is the end-all, be-all. Like, no, that's not the way it works.
Right.
Everybody knows that's not the way it works in baseball. Baseball, you can give up 20 runs in an inning, and almost everybody universally be like, oh, let's see how they rebound from it. Let's see how they come back.
When he goes just baseball questions, I'm thinking to myself, this is a baseball question.
Yeah.
This would be different if you got into some sort of trouble off the field and they were asking you about that. Mike fires. Like, if you, you know, if there was some sort of scandal you were involved with that didn't involve baseball, and they asked you about that, that would be where you go, baseball questions, please. This is a baseball question.
I would say there's there seems to be a campaign online amongst Astros, some Astros fans, to smear Mike Fiers maybe above and beyond for things he's actually done.
You mean
done.
Like possible slanderous things?
Yeah, and it's you and I both tried to figure it out over the weekend to see if there's any merit to it at all. And there, as far as I can tell, there is no actual merit. And
not enough to where we can do it and still want to do radio the next day.
Not to like any level of professionalism or whatever. I would very mildly warn Astros fans, like, be careful. Like, don't become that evil which we deplore.
That's right.
Don't get dragged down into the muck and do things above and beyond what you would actually want to do.
Treat your
enemies as you might treat your own.
What do you think his A's teammates think of Mike Fiers? What would you think of Mike Fiers if you were a teammate of his at the A's?
I think they think that he is probably the spyiest of the bunch. The lady doth protest too much. I think that Mike Fiers might just be a little too clued in on all of this stuff, and might be feeling he's probably getting all kinds of love from all over baseball for just how awesome a dude he is. Not baseball, but baseball.
No,
fans.
No, Seth, how courageous he is.
Even though he has yet to apologize for taking part in the cheating scandal, even though he will not speak on it publicly. Even though he has not returned his ring that I know of or given it to charity or anything like that, somehow he's being foisted up onto this pedestal like he's the hero of modern baseball. I would imagine that I would imagine some of his teammates are like, okay, that's cool, whatever. Do his teammates think he's a hero?
I think when he did that, he thought he was, there would be a lot of his teammates that would take up for him because he's on the A's. They're in a division with the Astros. You know, theoretically, they're divisional rivals. They were the two best teams in the division last year. My guess is Mike Fiers thought he'd have a lot of people on his side in that clubhouse. I just think baseball and sports, Seth, these rosters rotate and turn over so much now with free agency. I'll be honest. I'll take it just to the level beyond Fiers and just talk about the cheating in general. I'm really surprised so many teams, and I think more teams are going to get pinched because of this exact phenomenon, that teams are brazen about it enough to think that somebody's not going to blow the whistle once they're not in that clubhouse anymore, right? Guy gets let go by a team or doesn't get re-signed, probably feels like he's an axe to grind. I may not be around much longer. You know what? I'll rat these guys out. Screw these guys.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder if, with pitching especially, because there are a lot of guys that use, at least to hear some people talk about it, it's not uncommon for guys to use a little bit of something sticky just to get a little
Fiers.
Bit of grip.
He left stuff on his glove when he threw a no-hitter.
So I wonder, just even amongst other pitchers, do they wonder, like, all right, what's the deal with this guy? Because that's kind of one of those things where managers, some people would even tell you that, look, you want the pitchers to have a good grip because otherwise they're going to be losing control and you're going to get plunked in the head inadvertently and whatnot. So are other pitchers around Fiers kind of nervous about, do they have to start cloaking things from Fiers as well as from the cameras?
I don't know.
I just wonder if Fiers, I don't think he thought it through in terms of how he went about outing it to the Athletic.
Yeah.
And I also think this, I think that for as much as when I talk to people about the rumors they heard about buzzers and everything, I think it had gotten to the point where people were so convinced that the Astros couldn't possibly be this good, even though they were that good on the road, and in many respects better on the road than we were at home. People in baseball were so desperate to believe that it was anything except them actually being that good that it became a snowball to where any rumor they heard, they believed. Any theory you could throw out there, by 2019, they believed that that had to be the reason. So that's where it just reached a boiling point, and they had to speak publicly on these rumors, even though they didn't actually have any evidence. The very study that people will point to as the thing that nailed the Astros to the cross, people will now choose to ignore when it comes to saying, well, actually, nothing happened in 2019.
Yeah.
They'll say, well, I believe this study, except for the parts that I don't believe.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's like they're saying... It's kind of the way, you know, kind of the way we look at the Bible. Look, I'm going to believe the parts that are, you know,
I choose
easy
to believe
to follow.
this. I saw one of the debate shows asking the question when this thing was still, you know, still bubbling. It'll bubble up again when spring training starts. And we're talking about Mike Fiers, just inconsequential meeting with the media where nothing came out of it last weekend. I saw one of the questions being debated, are the Astros the face of the cheating scandal? To me, they unequivocally are the face of the cheating scandal, right? I mean, I know the Red Sox are under investigation.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's
I know
not...
Alex Cora, if you right. want to choose a face, it might be Alex Cora. But I think when you say 2017/18 cheating scandal, Astros pops
right.
to the top of everybody's mind.
Well, and the question isn't should they. If the question was should they be, that might be another story altogether. It's the question is, are they? I think, yes, undeniably so.
Yeah.
That's if you ask 99% of people outside the city of Houston, that's what they're going to bring up. And now the question is just, okay, just how thorough is baseball actually going to be with their investigation?
Yeah, and the reason I bring that up is just because of what you just said, which is the Astros became really good pretty fast, and there's a lot of people that maybe didn't want to believe that it was actual drafting of good players, development of good players, developing pitchers, analytics working to the nth degree for this team. And if you go, okay, well, what other teams could be the face of it? You know, the Yankees got pinched for some stuff back in 2015. I still think that maybe some stuff comes out about them. The Red Sox are in the middle of the, you know, they're in it right now. They're where the Astros were a few weeks ago in terms of the investigation and possible punishment and things like that. But you're talking about blue blood teams with those two.
Yeah.
The Astros have one World Series championship, and it happened while they were cheating. You know what I mean? Like they're... Even if for the Astros it hadn't happened in that postseason, but it just happened, let's say, some mm-hmm. other time, the Red Sox and the Yankees and blue blood teams like that, you know, let's say the Dodgers and Cubs got swept up in it as well. Maybe not the Cubs so much because they haven't won a lot, but they won a few years ago. But the Dodgers, there's a lot of other things to distract baseball with those teams. The Astros, there's very little in terms of history to distract you with.
Well, is it clear, though, too, when the Red Sox stopped doing it? It's clear when the Astros stopped doing it.
I don't know.
And that's the question.
Because the details with the Red Sox have not come out
because
yet.
Because the Red Sox won a championship while doing it as well.
They did.
But again, even if for everything that you just mentioned, because they have multiple championships, yeah. even though it shouldn't matter in 2018. But then also because by the time the Red Sox news comes out, I feel like for the most part, the public's attention span will have been spent on this.
Yeah, well, they'll have fatigue.
The Red Sox could come out and end up having it be way more damning, and somehow it's still going to be the Astros
That's
scandal.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
you could find out that the Red Sox... Now, let's see. What do we need? We need the Red Sox to be using buzzers. They actually found evidence of the Red Sox using buzzers.
They actually are the one team that did use technology, right?
Right.
I mean, they use the Apple
Watch.
I mean,
beforehand.
The Astros are in there like a bunch of cavemen banging on a garbage can. Yeah. And the Red Sox are at the Apple store before the game.
They should have put an Apple logo on the garbage can.
That would have been beautiful. We're not stealing signs. We're denouncing the Red Sox stealing signs by murdering this garbage can with an Apple logo on it.
If it turned out that the Red Sox were using buzzers, the great part of that would be it would lend more credence and believability to the fact that the Astros weren't using them, because hey, if the investigation found that the Red Sox were using buzzers, it seems like it would have been simple enough to find that the Astros were. The other thing about the Astros and the buzzers, and the reason that I find it easy to just believe that if the investigation found nothing, it wasn't all the Astros players complied. It seems like everybody except Cora complied and told the whole truth. You're going to tell me that 58 people got together and 57 of them kept the buzzers a secret under threat of, you tell all these players, hey, as long as you tell the truth, nothing's going to happen to you.
Right.
And it seems like they all told a pretty consistent story, but that somehow you got them all together to lie about the buzzers. That just seems incredibly unlikely to me. The most, if you want to believe the Meltzer Occam's razor thing, which is the simplest explanation is the most likely the right explanation. The simplest explanation in that scenario is, well, if you had all those players tell a consistent story and none of them talked about the buzzer, then there probably were no buzzers.
Yeah.
Either that or only one person knew.
I'm just going to cut out the middleman, Occam, and just start calling it Meltzer's razor.
I like that.
Yeah. It's Meltzer's razor from now on.
We'll do kind of like Edison did to Tesla. We'll just go ahead and screw Occam. We're going to push Meltzer. Meltzer's going to be the famous one here.
He is.
Someday, 100 years from now, nobody will know who
it's
this Occam
razor.
Character
We need
was.
Merch that says Meltzer's razor on it. Here is Dallas Keuchel last week. New Chicago White Sox pitcher, former Astro. Here's his apology for the Astros' 2017 sign-stealing scandal. What do we think of his apology?
I mean, I'm not going to go into specific detail, but during the course of the playoffs in 17, everybody was using multiple signs. I mean, for factual purposes, when there's nobody on base, when in the history of Major League Baseball has there been multiple signs? So you can go back and watch film of every team in the playoffs. There was probably 6 out of 8 teams using multiple signs. So it's just what the state of baseball was at that point in time. Was it against the rules? Yes, it was. And, you know, I personally am sorry for what's come about, the whole situation. But it is what it is, and we got to move past that. So I never thought anything would have come like it did, and I myself am sorry, but we got to move on.
I think if you read between the lines there, it's did you do the buzzer?
Yes.
Well,
I think it's like a 1.7 on a scale of 1 to 10 apology.
If you read between the lines,
mansplaining the whole thing.
And this is, I think, where the Astros are going to have a hard time. I think a lot of Astros players are going to have a hard time giving a full 100% apology, because I think what they likely feel and what a lot of people feel is that there was an arms race at that point when it came to sign stealing and the use of technology. The very best teams in the league felt like they were in an arms race, and that when you went to New York or when you went to Boston, you weren't just combating those pitchers and those catchers and those players on the field. You're combating the people at MIT and Harvard and whatnot, the brain trust up there in Cambridge that was helping out the team, and who knows, God knows what space level technology they were using. And things got out of control. And how extensive was it? Who knows? Was it steroid level? You know, was it steroid era level of mass participation? I don't think so, but I think there was definitely a feeling that amongst the best teams in the league, you had to do something to keep up with the Joneses. And that's where it's hard. You have to walk that delicate line where you're saying, I'm not excusing it. It was still wrong, but let's give it the full context here. Let's really flesh this thing out, baseball. Let's point out exactly what was going on.
Which do you think is worse, the steroid scandal or this?
Boy, I guess that depends on your perspective. I mean, I suppose if...
if we root for the Astros and we're in Houston, that kind of thing?
There's always the argument with... Well, okay, now the biggest argument, and I believe this, I don't think it's overly sentimental to say, all right, you're setting an example, you are role models, you're setting an example for children and whatnot. So whether it's steroids or whether it's cheating, which is worse? What's worse? It's all cheating, but is it worse to set an example for kids to use steroids, or is it worse to set an example for kids to cheat to get ahead?
Yeah, I think this, to me, the steroid one, to me, I'd look at the impact of it. The steroids were way more impactful to me. For one, you heard Keuchel saying it. They didn't use it all the time. They used it sometimes. It was only at home. That kind of, Sammy Sosa stepped up to the plate 600 times a year, and he was gassed up. He didn't just, today I'm not on steroids. You know what I mean? Like, these guys were all gassed
up every day. It only helped me every now and then.
Every day. You can't say that with steroids. The dude had 600 plate appearances, and he was gassed up for all of them.
So I guess that becomes the question, is which was more effective? Yeah, steroids were more... I would say generally the steroids were a more effective form of cheating. Except you did get to the point, too, then when pitchers are using it. And if pitchers and batters are both using it, at that point, does it start to...
And that means it hits the bat even harder and goes even further when the ball...
But you also strike out more gloriously, too.
Maybe, yeah.
I get the biggest thing about the steroids was I don't think the pitchers had caught up to the hitters at that, right? Because pitchers are still... Pitchers, especially with steroids, and this is honestly, kids, if you're listening, one of the biggest reasons to not use steroids is that it does weaken your tendons.
Yes.
It's just, so you are more likely to have a tendon injury. So great, hey, you got a 500-pound bench press. That helps you a lot when you got a pec tear, you know?
Right.
So I think pitchers didn't quite use them as much because they still had to worry about injury.
Are we giving Dodger fans a pass for officially announcing that they're going to go to Anaheim and boo the Astros on the Angels opening weekend?
I just say, I guess more power to
you. Because LA is grieving right now?
For one, I don't understand why they're saying traveling to Anaheim. It's all the LA area, right?
Have you ever driven from LA to Anaheim?
Well, but how many Dodgers fans are in Anaheim? I'm guessing a whole bunch, right? It's just the whole Los Angeles area.
Yeah.
And so, for one, they're not traveling. That'd be like saying that I'm traveling to Katy to, you know, to
You've never driven down the 5 before, man. It's brutal. And
but you know what I'm saying.
I know.
It's that area.
Yeah. They're not getting on a plane.
Nobody's traveling anywhere.
Right.
So
you're mad about the fact they're claiming to travel.
I don't understand what they think they're going to accomplish. Like, people get booed at away venues. If anything, it's fun to get booed.
I'm sure the Astros are terrified.
Yeah, I know. It's like, oh, no. What, you mean there might be a slightly larger element of booing? The Astros are going to love getting booed this year. It's fun. Dude, it's fun to be the heel. It's fun to walk into a place and have people just despise you. You know what it is? When you're down in the field and the whole stadium's booing you, it probably feels the way like trolls do on Twitter when they really get somebody. You know, when they really get somebody, they probably feel like, oh, I've accomplished something today. That's what it feels like. Like, wow, look at this. Look at the power I have.
Yeah.
I feel like Darth Vader. I have the power to make all these people. And when you're the funnest thing to do in an away game is to do the hands up motion where you ask for more noise.
Did you do that back in the day?
Yes.
You were hand waving boo guys?
Yes, because they start booing louder. And it's hilarious because sometimes in football, you can get them to do it while the home team's offense is on the field. And you're like, you clowns, you're making it harder. And then the quarterback has to quiet everybody down because they're booing me who's raising them
up. Do you
up.
Remember who the dumbest fans were when
Titans,
came
by far. Titans. Like, honestly, they're morons. Half of them
you
are
really
on
had to think about
time.
That one.
No, yeah, no, it wasn't even close. It was really, I don't think most of them even understand the rules of football.
That's crazy.
Like, look at this. We got a team now. Oh, yeah. I'm going to go yell at them. Which one's am I yelling at, Cletus?
The ones in the deep steel blue.
All right. Am I allowed to bring my hog in here or no?
Hand me my coonskin cap.
Oh, sure. Sure, you let anybody out there marry each other, but I can't bring my hog to a football game. I'll tell you what.
Stupid rules.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.